Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Hi, America, and welcome to the John Solomon Reports podcast. This is Sophie Mann sitting in for John Solomon today, but don't worry, you'll still get to hear his voice later in the show. We've got a great show today. We'll be talking with Washington's third district congressional candidate, Joe Kent. I spoke with him a little bit earlier. He's going to be going over a lot of what's happening around the country that he's been seeing. He just got that very sacred endorsement by former President Donald J. Trump, so he's excited about that. And, as a combat veteran, he is fully prepared to talk about Afghanistan, what went on there, what we heard from the generals last week, and everything that continues to come from the fallout. A little bit later, John will be talking to economist Steve Moore, who we know well on this program and around the site. They'll be talking everything about the U.S. economy. We got new consumer price index numbers in last week. They're not looking good, folks, but I mean, you, of course, already know that. So Steve is going to be talking to us a little bit about that. He's always fun and exciting to hear from. One note just before we get the show really kicked off today is that while today's show is great, tomorrow, John will be sitting down with none other than former President Donald J. Trump himself. So you won't want to miss that. That's coming up normal time tomorrow. Just tune right in to the John Solomon Reports podcast. You can get it on Apple, on our website, or anywhere where your podcasts are available. So we're excited for that right after the break, which we're about to take right now. We'll be back with, as I said, Joe Kent. I'll be sitting down to speak with him. So stick around and we'll see you in just a sec.
Hey folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the John Solomon Reports podcast. This is Sophie Mann sitting in for John Solomon. We've got a really special guest on today, somebody whose campaign we've been keeping track of since it launched, what seems like a while ago now. It's Joe Kent, who's running for Congress in Washington's 3rd District. He has, a resume a mile long, so I will spare you the details for now, but let's welcome him on. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for being here. So, Joe, I mean, first of all, you have a very, very colorful and well-established military history. I mean, that is, as you've said many times, one of the reasons that you are running now to continue to fight for America, albeit in D.C. as opposed to abroad. Talk to us about how you're thinking and feeling about the continued tumult that is happening per the fallout from the hasty Afghan exit at this point that happened in late August, so not just about a month ago, but I guess we are now technically 2 months removed.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a disaster with so many layers. I think the best place to start is just on the current situation. I think it's easy to forget because the news is largely buried. There's still Americans and SIV Afghans that are eligible for American citizenship that have been abandoned by our government, that are still in Afghanistan, that are still right now actively on the run from the Taliban. And that's because the Biden administration has done everything they can to try and change the topic away from the disastrous withdrawal. They told us that we lost the 13 service members at Abbey Gate there at Hamid Karzai Airport because they were trying to go and receive and save all these Afghans that had worked with us. Turns out that was a lie. The 100,000 plus that we got to the States, only 3% of them are actually SIV people that we have done some degree of vetting on. The rest are unknown. They've been given safe passage to America. They're now essentially going to be given some form of U.S. support in America, and we're going to have to absorb them into our massive welfare system. Meanwhile, real actual American citizens who are working as part of the mission over there in Afghanistan, and then also SIV holders who worked with us, the translators and some of the soldiers, they've been essentially abandoned. So I think that's the most pressing issue really right now.
Yeah, and I mean, especially when it comes to the question of who remains in Afghanistan and how many people who we have a responsibility to get out are still there. All numbers, it seems, have been extremely opaque coming from the government. I mean, just last week we saw three top military leaders testify before the House and the Senate, and each one of them would not give a real response in terms of the number of people that are still on the ground there. You know, Secretary of State Blinken continues to say that he thinks it's fewer than 100, but, you know, sort of anecdotal reports, and not even anecdotal reports rather from people who are on the ground there and running organizations that are, you know, really, really trying to get people out, are saying, of course, it's more than 100 people. Joe, do you have any insight into sort of the numbers we're looking at over there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much closer to it. If you include family members, because there are American citizens and there are SIV folks who they may have U.S. citizenship, they may have a green card, they may have SIV paperwork in, but they're not going to abandon their families. So we're looking at closer to 1,000, I think. And I think I still am being a little bit conservative. If you looked at immediate family members, people who won't leave their children, obviously. So I think that's a closer number.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of let's go a little bit broad here in terms of kind of the public, the American public's response to how the Biden administration has behaved during and in the wake of this Afghan disaster. How do you think people are responding? I mean, it certainly seemed at first like there was a decent amount of upset. You know, people, especially as the sort of 20th anniversary of 9/11 cropped up, there was really some outrage, definitely some intense emotions flying. I mean, we're about a month removed, as I said, now, and it, you know, the news cycle moves on. And I mean, I wonder if this is going to be something that Americans sort of move past and therefore was a calculated decision by the Biden administration. What's your impression?
You know, this was the calculation by the Biden administration. Americans don't pay very close attention to foreign policy unless it's right up in their face and something like 9/11 happens, something like the Iraq war invasion happens, or something like the catastrophic withdrawal happens. So it was hot in the news cycle for a bit. And now Biden's political calculations, at least in this degree, I think are kind of holding true. And I really want to do everything I can to make it not leave the news cycle, because obviously for the immediate pressing issue, there are people that still need our help over there that we have an obligation to. But then also, I mean, really, what we saw unfold, and everybody was very appalled watching the way that the withdrawal went down, that sheds light on the greater foreign policy endeavor that we've undertaken with the global war on terror and how many lies upon lies have just been compounded with this whole nation building experiment. And then the fact that, you know, I think the last administration, Trump had a plan. I know he had a plan to get us out of there, and he was blocked every step of the way by Republicans and by Democrats, resulting in this huge huge debacle that we have with this withdrawal. So I really think that it's incumbent upon us, because there are so many lessons to learn, to keep this, you know, on the forefront of the national discussion, especially with how and why our nation fights wars and the obligations we have to those who fight those wars with us.
Right. And I mean, you know, one thing that has cropped up vis-a-vis this, you know, disastrous withdrawal is, I mean, always when there's some sort of crisis, it highlights the fact that there are issues in a number of different parts of sort of the operations of the U.S. government. So one thing that the media has sort of been paying a decent amount of attention to recently is the chain of command when it comes to generals like Mark Milley and Lloyd Austin and Frank McKenzie, who are the three who were testifying last week. There have certainly been some questions about General Milley's behavior. And I mean, you know, perhaps even more significantly, all three generals testified, or military leaders rather, testified last week that they advised President Biden to keep a small number of troops on the ground in Afghanistan when it became clear exactly what they were dealing with in terms of the Taliban resurgence. What do you make sort of what came out of those hearings last week and this advice that was clearly not heeded by the White House and sort of the result that we're seeing now?
Yeah, it's just leadership failure on every front. And I don't want to give Biden a pass because he did an absolutely terrible job as commander in chief. All blame ultimately ends with him, especially considering he could have had us out by May. And that's when the Taliban started this offensive. So he gets all the ultimate blame. But here's the deal with the military. They're always going to say, hey, we need 6 more months. We need 18 more months. We need to leave troops. That's always going to be their recommendation. They've been ordered now by multiple commanders in chiefs. President Trump, they blocked him every single step of the way as he tried to get us out of Afghanistan. Biden even came in, and I completely disagree with the way he did it. He should have had us out in May, as I said. But they knew, the military knew, that Biden wanted us out of Afghanistan, and so did the American people. So it was their job to follow the chain of command under Trump. It was their job to follow the chain of command under President Biden, and they failed to do so. It doesn't matter at the end of the day what they think. They gave their input, but then their job should have been to plan this actually a planned and ordered withdrawal. And they didn't do that, and then shame on President Biden for not enforcing that. But we have a really horrible system right now with this military-industrial complex and these generals that think that they can make policies and that their policies endure every single administration. That's not the way that our system works whatsoever.
Right. So, I mean, talk a little bit about what you think the implications of that sort of are. I mean, you're somebody who I believe you served 11 tours of duty. You know, how do you see the military operating right now, sort of from top down? Do you think it's, I mean, as is the case with so many different institutions in government right now, sort of out of control of the executive branch and sort of just acting as this sort of permanent bureaucratic, you know, institution that has a mind of its own outside of who is elected?
Yeah, I think the easiest one to see is the military-industrial complex, but really our permanent administrative state, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, the people that endure every single administration, these guys are out of control on every single level. I mean, like I said, the military, just look at the Afghan papers that were released. I don't think they got enough attention because they came out under Trump, and they probably would have vindicated a lot of what Trump was saying, so the media kind of buried them. But people need to go back and look at the Afghan papers. For multiple presidential administrations, you had mid- to senior-level military officers that were lying about what was going on in Afghanistan. We know the same thing was true in Iraq because we know the entire Iraq war was based off lies. Then we said we built this great military. The second it faced a challenge from ISIS, they dropped their weapons and they turned and they ran. So we saw all those lies come unraveling. But really, we've had this military system that's done exactly what it wants to do. It wants to keep these wars going. And then all the apparatus around it, the think tanks, the defense contractors, they perpetuate that and keep it going. And they really have been able to shirk what presidents say. Under Trump, the media really covered for them. I was hoping that the only good that came from this Afghan debacle was that even the military, there was like a week, I'm sorry, even the media, there was like a week there where even like CNN and MSNBC were covering how big of a debacle it was because even they couldn't cover for Biden in the way that they usually do on other topics. But that's throughout the entire government. I mean, that covers the intelligence community, that covers the State Department, that covers what happens on Wall Street. That, I mean, look at Fauci and the NIH and what these people are, these healthcare experts are telling us every day about COVID. Like, we can't trust them because they're lying to us consistently over and over again. So the administrative state, or the deep state, as Trump called it, like, it is a very real thing that we have to dismantle if we're going to continue to have the people of this country continue to trust the institutions that the people give power to. I think we're in a very dangerous place right now where we're just losing faith on every level in these institutions.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that that's a pretty apt summary of the way a lot of people are feeling. And, you know, as a sort of the world and Americans face a number of perilous and just significant uncertainties in their lives that we've seen unfold over the past year and a half, 2 years. I think a lot of mistrust of government institutions has come to light, and, you know, reason to mistrust government institutions has come to light. And Joe, I guess that's why you're trying to head to DC and sort of begin to fight in a new way these types of institutional bias and corruption. How do you think that, it, should you be elected to Congress, how do you think you're going to begin approaching that? I mean, it's a daunting task for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge reason why I'm running. I mean, my wife was killed in Syria a month after Trump tried to get us out the mm-hmm. first time. And then the administrative slow roll really put her in that position, her and three other great Americans. That kind of put me in on this trajectory that I'm on right now. I think we really have to go hard and heavy. We have to almost go scorched earth. We have to demand accountability. We have to have the Armed Services Committee demand accountability from the military. We have to have intelligence oversight demand accountability for our intelligence community and all the politicization that's happened there. We need to have accountability for January 6th. I mean, election integrity and what happened in 2020 is still one of my key issues. That needs to be fully adjudicated in front of all the American people. I fully support the full forensic audits. Fauci as well. Fauci, NIH, the origins of COVID, all of that needs to be laid out for the American people. All these major events where there's been a narrative and we've caught them lying time and time again, we need to go through, lay it out for the American people, and then put forward real reforms. This has happened before, you know, in our history, you know, in the 50s and the 60s when we caught the intelligence community doing certain things, the church committees. We've had incidents like this before, and we've been able to make these institutions, you know, maintain some credibility. But every now and again, I do think we have to have these times where there's actually reckoning and there's actually accountability. And we've just lacked that on every level. I mean, just this news that broke Friday, Saturday about all the insider trading going on with the head of the Fed, the way they were manipulating their stocks, their personal portfolios before the pandemic. I mean, there's just incident after incident. And I really think that if we don't have Congress step in with their key oversight role, that things will be off the rails. So I think that the power of the oversight committee really needs to be something that Congress focuses on going forward in 22, 23.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I think after a couple of years of, oversight committee hearings, or not even years, months at this point, of oversight committee hearings coming from the Democrats, it seems like some type of change is perhaps wanted. And we'll see what comes of that. So, Joe, as I've said, you're running in Washington's 3rd district to replace Jamie Herrera Butler, another Republican currently serving in Congress. Tell us about that race. How's it going? It seems like you've really caught on. You know, you got former President Trump's endorsement just a couple of weeks ago. That must have been exciting. Yeah, how are things going?
Well, they're going really well. So obviously getting the endorsement from President Trump was huge. It's the most influential political endorsement, I think, in the history of political endorsements. So very honored to get that. And obviously that helped out with the momentum a good deal. But people here in the 3rd Congressional District, they're I think, just like the rest of America, they're fed up with what's going on at every single level. Everything we just discussed, we have a very activist governor out here, Jay Inslee. He's kind of like Andrew Cuomo, but of the West. So he's locking everything back down again. Yeah. Masks and vaccine mandates at the state level, trying to reach into the classroom and do it to our children, too. So we've actually had a good deal groundswell of people that are just really fed up, and they want their freedoms back and they want their voices to be heard. So, I mean, it's been incredibly busy campaign season, and we're still a good deal out. So things have been going really well. We've been getting a good deal of national media coverage as well. But really, it has to do with how I think just mobilized your average citizen is right now, because they can see their freedoms are being taken away at every single level. So it's as scary and bleak as things look at times, getting out and getting to some of these rallies and talking to everyday people that are becoming politically active for like the first time. It's actually very motivating and kind of really puts a lot of faith back into me for the direction of this country.
That's great to hear. I mean, it must be a very interesting and new experience for you to be out on the campaign trail. I know that your time is limited, and we really appreciate you being with us here today. So just one final question, maybe two, before you go. You've been out there touring a bunch, and I mean, seeing not just people in your own state, but as you said, sort of all over the country. What, in your estimation, are maybe the one or two biggest issues that Americans are worried about right now and possibly looking to vote about in 2022?
So right now it's election integrity and what we're going to do about 2020. So people are smart. They know that no other issue matters unless we fix our elections. So I know there's a lot of people in the GOP that don't like talking about that, but really having a plan, I'm I've signed on to a lawsuit here in my own county for a full forensic audit in Washington State. I know people don't hear about Washington State very much, but we've been doing mail-out ballots and Dominion tabulation machines now for about 15 years. So we're pushing for a full forensic audit in our state, and then we're supporting the efforts throughout the country. And like I said, when I get into Congress, I want to have a full congressional inquiry about the 2020 election so that we can lay out all that evidence for the American people. And people want to hear that. Like, there's some conservatives that don't want to talk about that, but this is on the tip of everyone's tongue, especially if what's going on down in Maricopa County, Georgia, and all that. So that's probably the number one issue. The number two issue I would say is the accountability piece, but in particular with COVID and getting these COVID restrictions just away from our children, get the COVID restrictions, the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates away from the kids, get it away from the workers. We get a lot of people in this state that are actually losing their jobs now because of either their private sector jobs have decided to go forward with vaccine mandates. Our state government here went ahead of the federal mandate. And so they're actually like 2 weeks ahead of the federal mandate. So we've already had a lot of people starting to lose their jobs there as well. So getting the government's COVID restrictions off of people's backs as well is probably, I would say, the number two issue, just because it's so limiting people's personal freedoms and then their economic freedoms.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, again, I think something that, a lot of Americans are sharing in their frustrations about right now. So here's the real final question, Joe. Where can everybody find information about your campaign should they want to look into it further?
Yeah, just please go to joekentforcongress.com. There's links to all my social media on there. We update our events page. And if people can, I'd really appreciate a donation. I'm going up against not just the GOP establishment, but also the far left. We're not taking any big PAC money right now. And so we're actually beating an 11-year incumbent right now, 2-1. And that's all thanks to small contributions. Our average contribution is like $53. But it's the power of the people. So Joe Kent for Congress folks can help us.
Thanks so much, Joe. Well, folks, you heard it. Every dollar counts for Joe Kent and a number of other races that are going on across the country as we approach 2022. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break. And when we do come back, John, we'll be talking to your favorite economist, Steve Moore, about everything that's going on with inflation and all the rest of it right now. Those of you on the ground know that the U.S. economy has been a little rocky of late, and Steve's going to give us the real deal picture of all of that. So that's right after the break. We'll see you soon.
Hey folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, one of my favorite economists, somebody who gets it right every time and also makes it understandable. Joining us right now is the amazing economist Steve Moore, my good friend Steve. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. Great to be with you. And boy, these are amazing times.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what's amazing is 6 months ago, you were predicting this exact thing. And everyone said, ah, no, that's alarmist. Janet Yellen's like, yeah, just small inflation, fleeting inflation. They've all come around to your thinking. And last week, Yellen did a big turnabout. She went from it's transitory and small to it's going to be longer and bigger. What is going on with the fundamentals of the economy right now?
Well, on one hand, the economy is strong. I mean, we have a very strong, GDP, businesses are doing well. The stock market has been a rocket ship. So that's all good. But we do have a problem with the rising prices, no question about it. And people feel it. And as you see it, by the way, in the polls, it's one of the two or three most worrisome thing for people right now is they're paying more for gas, they're paying more for food, they're paying more for meat, and they're paying more for transportation costs. All those things are going up, and it shrinks the paycheck. And yep. So Americans are really feeling pinched and squeezed by this inflation. And I'll tell you this, John, if we pass another $4, $5, $6 trillion of debt, that's only going to make the inflation problem much, much worse. I mean, yeah. Just more dollars chasing fewer goods means higher inflation. So I am worried about it. The Fed is not sufficiently worried about it. I think they're behind the curve. And I think we're, right now we have 5% inflation. I think it could go up to 6 or 7%, which is really, really troublesome.
Yeah, because wages aren't keeping up. Any wage gains that people have made have been erased by this inflation.
Yeah, wages are rising about 4%, which is in normal times a really good number,
right.
But not when you have 6% inflation. That means you're losing. I mean, the other day, Joe Biden was crowing about the wage gains for workers, and they're up 4%. Well, yeah, but inflation is 6%, your paycheck is actually shrinking. And I said this before, but it is worth repeating. The people really get clobbered by the inflation are the people who live on fixed incomes and people who make less than $50,000 a year who, when they have to pay more for groceries and they have to pay more for gas, it has a real negative effect on their.
It has to come from somewhere else. There's no reserves.
Yep.
Yeah. The second thing that I'm hearing a lot of people complain about, some have gone to stores and all of a sudden there are things you're waiting for. You order a part for a car, you order a part for, what is going on with the supply chain? How could we be this short of supplies? What's the dynamic there?
Well, some of it is just the leftover effect from all the lockdowns we had in 2020 and early 21. And that's put a real kind of not in the supply chain, but there's also something else going on, especially in the United States, which is just getting workers on the job. And we still have 10 million job openings in the United States, which is incredible. Those are jobs that cannot be filled because workers are not going back to work. This $4 to $5 trillion spending bill that Biden wants vastly expands welfare benefits for not working. And it's kind of welfare reform in reverse. We're actually paying people more money not to be working rather than incentivizing the people to get back in the workforce. And, you don't have to believe me about this, John. Any small businessman or woman or even the big companies. I talked to Fred Smith, who's the chairman and CEO of FedEx, one of the 50 largest companies in the world with over 100,000 employees. He told me the other day they have 20,000 job openings.
That is amazing. 20,000. If I understand right, there are more job openings than there are people in the marketplace looking for a job, right? There's a gap there, isn't there?
Yep, there is. Now, we have a lot of people who could be and should be working, but 10 million is a lot. And in some ways, that's a good thing. I mean, I'd rather have, more jobs than too many workers. But on the other hand, I estimate that if we had cut the payroll tax last year rather than increased all the unemployment benefits, we'd have about 5 million more people working today. And, we want people to be productive. We want people to get off the couch. We want them to get up, have a reason to get up in the morning. And the studies show the longer people stay unemployed, the worse it is for them and their families. You have people, John, who haven't worked for 18 months.
Wow. And, the longer you stay out, the more tempted you are to stay out. Isn't that one of the dynamics that employment coaches mention?
It does. And it also has negative effects. I mean, studies show long-term unemployment affects families, children. It leads to higher drug use, alcoholism, depression. So we're not doing the workers a favor by paying them to stay on the couch.
Yeah, great point. Such a great point. When you look at this picture, this is the Biden economy now, right? the all the changes in the infrastructure, regulatory structure, tax structure, all those things are Biden. What is the Biden, you know, Bidenflation, I hear that term. What is the, when you summarize what the Biden economic plan is, what is it doing to America right now?
Well, we're still on the fumes from the vaccine. I mean, the vaccine has been one of the great economic stimuluses of all time, right? We have businesses reopened. We have people, Americans are getting back on the job more slowly than they should. But that's been amazing. It's been very positive for the economy that we have of people who can get back to work. But I do think all of this debt and all this spending and all the taxing that Biden is doing will create a kind of hangover effect. And that hangover effect is going to be, I think, felt next year or in 2023. It's like if you run up your credit card, it feels good when you buy all the stuff, right, John?
Yeah. But when the bill comes.
It doesn't feel so good. And I think that's where we are right now. And I would say this, that because this is critical. This bill that is in front of Congress right now as you and I speak, and I think this is going to go on till Christmas. The Democrats have a big train wreck in Washington right now.
They can't get their own paper in line.
Yeah, but if they pass that bill anywhere near the form that it's in right now, with the massive tax increases, the massive assault on American energy, the massive increase in welfare benefits, the big increase in debt, all of those things I think will cause financial crisis in this country. And I think Wall Street right now, people ask me, well, things are so bad, why is the stock market so high? I think that investors are betting that Republicans are going to be able to stop this. I hope they can, but I wouldn't bet my life on it. And, right now we have an economy where the whole fate of the Western world rests on the back of the shoulders of Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin.
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable moment that two people are holding the line to an entirely new world. The taxes that are buried in these bills, and there are just so many of them. The line the Democrats always, well, we're getting the rich to pay their fair share. But the truth of the matter is, all it does is add to the expense of companies and others. Right? If a company has a tax burden, they don't take it out of their profits; they pass it on. So, is this another? Are the taxes another potential point of inflationary pressure?
Well, I think the taxes depress economic activity. Look, I'm a supply sider. I go back to Reagan. We cut tax rates under Reagan. 40 years ago, the stock market was at 1,000. Today, it's at 35,000. This has been the last 40 years since the beginning of the Reagan era have been the greatest period of wealth creation and income gains in the history of civilization. I mean, it's been incredible. We took a country that had $10 trillion of wealth, and now we have $100 trillion of wealth. I laugh when Joe Biden says, we have to reverse what we've done over the last 40 years. Are you insane? Are you completely nuts? I mean, the last 40 years have been incredible in terms of, and not just for the rich, middle incomes have risen very substantially. And that's all put at risk. I believe what the Democrats and the left are trying to do is really reverse not just the Trumponomics, but the Reaganomics, which means lower tax rates, less regulation, better trade deals, pro-American energy production. All of that is being put at risk here, and it would take years. Here's what scares me, John. If they manage to pass this bill, it's not going to take years. It's going to take decades to undo this stuff.
Wow.
I mean, let me give you one example. They want paid parental leave.
Right.
And it's not just if the child, if someone near to you is sick, you're going to have workers just not showing up for work. I talk to employers now who say even with the unpaid parental leave, people don't show up. Imagine if you're paying people not to work and you can say, oh, my kid had a fever this morning. It's going to wreak havoc on the economy. Now, my point is, what are the chances, John, if we pass paid parental leave that we'll ever repeal that?
Yeah. Yep.
Zero.
It's a demagogy issue. Once it's in, it's never coming out.
Yeah, exactly. So there are a lot of things like that in this bill.
Wow.
The tax rates go up to, 45. Our small businesses in the United States would pay the highest tax rates in the world. Our corporations would pay higher tax rates than China and Russia.
It's unreal. I mean, this utopia that we're building is fundamentally reshaping the America that we've lived in for a half a century.
That's right.
Last question, because I know you got to run. If Republicans are going to seek a mandate in 2024, what is the economic agenda they need to go back to?
Well, it has to be an agenda of limited government, of growth, of pro-worker. I like America first. I mean, I know that's Trump. But America, for this bill, the agenda that Biden is proposing is America last. It's closing down our energy. By the way, did you see China has now 1,000 coal plants? 1,000. Do you think
so much for climate change improvement?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's unreal.
So, we need to put American interests first, American businesses first. We have to have school choice for every child. We have to lead, have a situation where, you know, we as conservatives believe that we are a society of opportunity. I mean, you see people all over the world coming to the United States. Every immigrant wants to come here. This is a land of opportunity, and we need to continue to say that anybody can who comes into this country or is born, you can lift yourself up by your bootstraps and make a better life for yourself. And all of this welfare and all this government dependence is, where's that work, John? Show me anywhere in the world where that's worked.
Oh, yeah, it never has. History keeps repeating itself, and yet there are some in this country that want to impose it one more time.
Yep.
Steve, it is always an honor to have you on the show. You make economics so easy to understand, and we're just so lucky every time we get to talk to you. And I want to thank you for all your insights today.
Well, thank you, John. And by the way, this stuff is not complicated, except when Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi say we're going to spend a $5 trillion bill, and it's not going to cost you anything. It's
yes.
free.
I think even I can do that math and say, that doesn't add up.
Right.
It's great to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John. Take care.
All right, you too. Folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down. And my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition and, of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off.
Welcome back, everyone, to the John Solomon Reports podcast. Let's wrap it up for today, Monday, October 4th. What a great show we had. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, tomorrow, John will be sitting down with former President Donald J. Trump to go over, you know, the state of our union. Everything that you want to hear from President Trump, he will be talking about. You know the guy, he likes to talk, he likes to give us a good show, and that's what we're hoping for tomorrow. So that's tomorrow, regular time on the show. Everything should be up and running according to schedule. We look forward to having you tune in and hearing your feedback. We love to hear from you guys. Love when you leave us comments on the show. You know, all 5-star ratings are important and much appreciated, but we love to hear, you know, exactly what you're thinking when it comes to reviewing how we're doing, what kind of content you like to hear, and all of that. So that's, again, tune in tomorrow, Tuesday, October 5th, every day, same time, John Solomon Reports podcast. John will be back tomorrow. You won't have to hear me for too much longer. So thanks so much for tuning in today. God bless you and God bless America.
Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guaranteed. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.